Well, good morning, everyone. How did that sound? I hardly ever get a cold. I haven't had a cold for, I cannot remember, but I have this morning laryngitis, not a cold. So if you'll bear with me, it went all right at 8 o'clock, but it wore things a bit during that. Let's pray. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding, and as we understand, strengthen our will to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just had one thing. Yes, I just had a mug of hot water. Thank you. Now, what is it which is so essential to maintain our close relationship with our Heavenly Father, yet is so neglected or put aside when busyness or tiredness takes hold of us? I'm referring, of course, to prayer, which is our Lord's focus today in Luke 18. Prayer is how we communicate with the Heavenly Father. It can be done silently, out loud. Sometimes, as Paul wrote in Romans, how that there are times we cannot utter the prayer and the Holy Spirit prays for us. It is the means by which we draw from God the strength and peace we need to live for him, because we cannot live for him without that strength and peace. Despite that being so, I haven't yet met a Christian who claims to have a perfect prayer life. And I think this is the reason why there is so much teaching in the Bible concerning our practice of prayer. The particular theme for today is persistence in prayer. And if you go away this morning with nothing else but the conviction of your need to persist in praying, then I won't have failed in my preaching task. As it is for a number of his parables, Jesus' words in the first verse of Luke 18 set out the purpose for telling the parables. He did the same in the parable that follows, that I won't be covering in the latter part of the reading. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And sometimes when a parable of our Lord is a bit obtuse, you know, a bit difficult, it'll often help us if we look at what it says at the beginning of the parable. It sets the pace for it. Jesus knew the frailty of people. He knew that even the most faithful of his followers can give in to weariness and at times even to thinking it is not worth going on relating to Jesus. How many times have you had difficulty pursuing a way forward in your life and found yourself thinking, I give up. I'm not getting anywhere. What's the point of banging my head against this brick wall? Pardon me. Or we'll say, I'm tired of blundering through this thick fog enveloping my mind. Well, this lack of progress could be with a habit we want to break, such as eating too much or eating too much of the wrong food. It could be we know that we are spending more time that is good playing games, watching TV or reading anything, yet do nothing about it. Bad habits are easy to move into, but they are notoriously difficult to shake off. It could be becoming weary in doing something quite positive and approved of by everyone, like asking the Lord to move in the heart of people for whom we are praying. And we're on and on and we give up. The most natural thing to do for a Christian wanting to resolve such concerns and difficulties is to take them to the Lord. But having done so, it's not uncommon to find that we do not experience an immediate resolution of our concern or of our difficulty. Now, how could that be? Hasn't God promised to hear us when we pray? Yes, he has. And we have no alternative which works but to depend on our Heavenly Father to hear and answer our prayers. It is the fact that God has made such promises which sometimes makes it more difficult to cope with what seems to be no response to our prayer. It just occurred to me as I was saying those words, not in the preparation, that there was a time, a long time ago, when we were at Balaclava, when I virtually decided that I'd give up following the Lord when he didn't answer my prayer for a friend who had cancer. He died. Things have come through a lot of places since then. But that's what sometimes will happen to us. And please don't tell me that it's a simple matter of not having believed strongly enough as we prayed. That sort of thinking makes answers to prayer depend upon the strength of faith in the person praying, rather than upon the love, power, and wisdom of our gracious Heavenly Father. The parable told at the beginning of Luke 18 speaks to our difficulty of delayed answers to prayer. Our Lord's parable is very simple. In it, we have a helpless widow who obtained justice from a cynical and corrupt judge by keeping up her plea for justice. No doubt she was in the right, but that was not the reason the judge heard the case and found in her favour. It was her persistence which ensured her success. Look at verses 4 and 5. For some time the judge refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." Or as that version there says, attack me. Much stronger. Jesus made a similar point about persistence in Luke 11 when the man already in bed rose to satisfy his friend's bold request for food for a late visitor. Now, the woman in the parable today could easily have given up because she was not in a good position. Widows at that time with no real power of their own. They were notoriously dependent upon the goodwill of people in positions of power. And if a widow was lucky enough, if a rich person or a person in great power took the widow under his or her wing, then they benefited. But that isn't the normal for that time. She knew what it is to be powerless. And so it is for us as we face some problems and difficulties. We find ourselves in a position of powerlessness. I've already spoken about some of those situations at the beginning. I mentioned our wrestling with besetting bad habits. Then there are sometimes intractable difficulties in relationships. And there are external forces like drought beyond our control, which have potential to affect our way of life. The one factor those kinds of experiences seem to have in common is that they evoke in us feelings of powerlessness and helplessness. Take, for instance, as we see on the TV all day and then at night, situations in places like Myanmar, southern Sudan, Syria, and almost countless other places. Governments, large national and multinational groups don't seem to be flushed with success for solving the problems that pertain in any of those places. So why should people like ourselves have any hope of bringing about change? Well, Jeff will be leading us in some prayers later that pray for just such situations. And if we think that we don't have any hope of bringing about change, does that mean we sit and wait and do nothing? No, we say amen to what Jeff will be asking. Do you think we are in a worse position in some of those difficult spots than the widow in Jesus' parable? Well, as I've said, I think hers was a hopeless situation. But she did not give up. She kept at it. And she was rewarded with a hearing which vindicated her. Now let's be clear on at least one thing. Jesus was not saying God is like the judge in the parable. On the contrary, it was the contrast of God being totally unlike the judge which Jesus featured. Jesus reasoned from his little story that if a persistent but powerless widow can obtain a hearing from a cynical, corrupt judge who had no regard for her, then how much more likely is God, our Heavenly Father, to give heed to those whom he has declared his own children? Pardon me. In passing, let me say that feeling helpless, powerless, is not such a bad thing. Paul spoke of it towards the end of 2 Corinthians. It can help us to realise what our Lord meant when he said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. That's powerless. Yeah. And I like to turn it around and saying that with Jesus, there's nothing we cannot do that we need to do. Our confidence in a loving, positive response to our prayers is based on the character of God. He is the one who has promised by his Son Jesus never to leave us nor forsake us. Jesus made the contrast in verse 7 of our reading between the unsurpassing care and the relative carelessness of people. He said, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you," Jesus said, "he will quickly grant justice to them." Now, the words of Jesus which follow that could easily be missed. His words challenge every believer. After promising a sure response of justice from God, Jesus then said, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So the question is not whether God's response and action will come, but that when his ultimate response does come with our Lord's return to this earth, will he find his people, you and I, believing, still trusting, still true to him? Or will we have given up trusting him because we did not receive the response we wanted from him, how and when we wanted it? God's faithfulness is sure, as it is shown in the gift of his Son, Jesus. Our faithfulness is yet to be tested. Although I've been going wider than praying for justice, as is spoken of in the reading, it is important to notice our Lord was focusing on prayers for justice, which may not be answered until the return of our Lord in triumph and justice. Any number of problems, dangers or trials may move each of us to begin to pray, such as when we're faced by a lion, hungry lion out in the jungle. But we're apt to become weary of continuing when we don't receive a quick answer. We may even think, what's the use? Have you prayed for something or someone for any length of time without the response you've been looking for? Yep, quite a few nods. If so, you're not the first and you'll not be the last. I say so to emphasise that we may have to wait a long time to receive an answer to our prayer. We would do well, in that case, to return to those words in the first verse of Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Do you ever feel an inclination to hurry or shorten your prayers or to omit them altogether? Well, make no mistake, that can be Satan pushing us hard in the battle. Let's deny him the victory. But I want to add to that something that a teacher in Old Testament once said during a lecture, and that is that there are times when we are worn out with tiredness and it's a good idea to have a good sleep to the glory of God and take your prayers to him at another time. So it's not just one thing. So we resolve to pray on steadily, patiently, perseveringly, however long the answer is in coming, waiting for God to respond to our prayer is surely the hardest thing to learn in praying. The Old Testament is full of weight. I found it very, very helpful in recent years. But I want to tell you of something. More than 50 years ago, a friend and I agreed to pray for her husband, who saw no need for trusting in Jesus. A good bloke, but he just didn't see any need for it. Well, we lost touch when I moved to South Australia and they moved to central New South Wales. I continued daily to ask the Lord to draw Ron to himself, and I knew his wife would continue to do so. 26 years later, I learned that Ron had turned to God to put his trust in Jesus following the death of their son in a car crash, which is possibly something that we wouldn't expect the occasion. In fact, I can tell you of a few people who have said to me they've lost their faith for just such an event. Now, I told you about that experience not to show how faithful Ron's wife and I had been, but to illustrate the reality of what Jesus and Paul had to say about persistence in prayer. If we grow weary and cease praying, then the natural consequence is that we will not receive what our heart longs for. Conversely, because God has promised to hear and answer as we pray, we can expect to see answers to our prayers. Satan encourages us to give up asking God for the strength we need to deal with whatever is trying us out at the moment. Let us be encouraged in our praying by the persistent widow. She did not give up, even though she was depending on a man who had none of the love, which is the very nature of our Heavenly Father, to whom we direct our prayers.